You ready for another story? Bible is full of stories. This one perhaps is a little more familiar to you. Of all the things that could plague you in the time of Jesus, leprosy was very high up on the list. For one thing, you couldn't hide that you had leprosy. Your skin got all scaly with huge white patches all over it. And it's not a painful disease, but it's a nerve disease, so that you would lose sensation, starting with your extremities. And if you got a cut on your nose and it got infected, your nose would fall off. Your fingers might fall off. Your toes might fall off. The worst thing about it was that it was very obvious that you had leprosy, and it was contagious. And so if you were seen to have leprosy, you were kicked out of everything. Your family, you were not allowed to be with your family. You were not allowed to be in your community. You were not allowed to worship God in the temple. So you felt cut off completely from life. It was a living death. And so lepers tended to huddle together and to go around on the outskirts of things. They had to shout out if they were coming towards people that they were coming so that people could back off, like we see them do with vampires, you know. And it was terrible. So in our story today, from the Gospel according to Luke, page 80, chapter 17, Jesus meets some lepers. Listen now to the word of God. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, the reason he said that is if by some reason what you had was not leprosy, but just a rash that went away, you had to be examined by the priests with their eyes before you could rejoin your family and your communities and the temple. So if there was some cure that you underwent, that's what you had to do. So Jesus is telling them to go show yourselves to the priests. Didn't say anything else. He said, just go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where were they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the man, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Move among us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and speak your word through my words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you may know that I'm a farm girl. I grew up on a dairy farm in Woodbine, Maryland. You can't get more country than Woodbine, Maryland. And my father had many crops that he would harvest at different times of the year. But what I remember most clearly is when he would go to harvest the many things in the garden that he planted so lovingly and faithfully. And he would always go out the back door and he'd say, "Well, the preacher says that there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. I'm going to pluck up what is planted." What season are we in now?
Fall.
Yes.
Harvest.
Well, you don't know my answer. My answer is the season of Thanksgiving. Okay? So what season are we in now?
Thanksgiving.
Right. Hoorah. And we mentally review all the things that we have to be thankful for. But when I visit around Meadow Lakes and stand at the end of the service and greet the people, a number of them are telling me that they don't feel particularly thankful this year. For one thing, the worship service that we all love is ending at the end of the year, and they know why, and they're accepting of it, but they're very sad and not thankful that it's ending. And some of them are very disturbed by some of the things that are happening in our nation. And I hear frequently that surely we are going to hell in a handbasket. Or worse, that the progress that we made in the 20th century and all the hard lessons that were learned are going to be for naught, as civil rights legislation will be rolled backwards and followers of a religion not our own will be marked for discrimination, and the social safety net that was so carefully woven will be slashed to bits. They're worried about things like that. And someone said, "I'm glad that I'm in my last years so that I won't be around to see all the terrible things that I think are going to happen. But I grieve and fear for my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren." Now, you might hear it say that the Bible has an answer for every problem. And I learned that in Bible college. And whether that's strictly true or not, I feel that what the Bible has to say to the many who are in despair and fearful in this season of our country's life is that in the words of the preacher of Ecclesiastes, that there is nothing new under the sun. Yes, God's people have been here before. And I was thinking about this when I came across an article by a preacher named Dick Donovan, who compared the times we're living in to the times in which the ancient minor prophet Habakkuk was prophesying. Recalling nothing about Habakkuk other than his name, I looked him up and read all three chapters of his prophecy. And the text which gave me the genesis of my ideas for this sermon are in his final chapter, chapter 3, and I had them printed in the bulletin. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." Now, what Moses was so afraid of in that last sermon he preached came true, because the tribe of Israel were human beings just as we are. And yes, they did get to the promised land, and yes, they did have much bounty and many, many blessings there. And yes, they did forget the Lord their God. Now, Habakkuk is not a well-known prophet. He did not speak for God to the people, as we're used to thinking of the prophets of Isaiah, the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, although he was about the same time as they were. But he spoke to God for the people. He questioned God, and he questioned God, and he questioned God again. The world in which he was living indeed was going to hell in a handbasket, and he did not understand why God was letting this happen. Now, historically, many gains had been made by the tribe of Israel, the people of Israel, under righteous kings, but this was a time of a bad king, King Jehoiakim. He was the king of Judah. And he was leading the people back to idolatry and away from the Lord God. And as a result, God is preparing to judge the nation, using a heathen nation like Babylon to punish God's people. And Habakkuk just can't understand why the God of these people doesn't just purge their sins and draw them back to righteousness. He sees a bleak future for the kingdom of Judah, and he is fearful for the people. And so he cries out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice does not prevail. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment becomes perverted." And thus begins a dialogue between the prophet and the Lord. Terrible times surely are lying ahead for God's people. And the prophet is bewailing those terrible times and crying to the Lord. But a careful reading of the words show many words of trust and hope in the midst of despair. Some of these words have strengthened God's people throughout this time. Terrible, terrible, terrible things were happening and were going to happen. But listen to these words. I bet you never knew that they came from Habakkuk. "But the righteous shall live by their faith. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. But the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." And then at the end of this very short book comes this: "I hear, I tremble within, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters into my bones, and my steps tremble beneath me. I wait quietly for the day of calamity to come upon the people who attack us." And then he sings a song. Habakkuk sings a song, a hymn of trust and praise. We don't know the tune, but the text tells us that it is to be accompanied by string instruments. And the words come down to us and to our time, as they have come down to every dark time through the ages. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." Habakkuk is saying or singing that although the world does indeed seem to be going to hell in a handbasket, he chooses to be thankful, to rejoice and be joyful in the God who is his Savior. Now, we have all seen good times. maybe great times in your lives. And surely we have all seen bad times. Maybe this is for you a good time in your life. And for that, I'm very thankful. Maybe it's easy for you to give thanks this Thanksgiving season. Or maybe it's not a good time in your life. Maybe you share the despair of Habakkuk and you worry about the world. Maybe you are thinking of ways that you can stand against this and try to keep the worst from happening, and maybe you'll be successful to some degree. But the word from our Old Testament text this morning, our two texts, one is to remember, the one from Moses, remember who brought you through everything to this moment. And don't forget who that is. And then the one from the prophet, that in a season of change, it is predictable. The pendulum does swing from side to side. And we have to endure with faith. But one thing that knows no season and is unchangeable is our salvation. In the words of the Apostle Paul, I am going from faith unto faith. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I can never be lost and can never lose my salvation, for God's salvation is unceasing. I was saved, but I am being saved, and I will be saved. For this, we give thanks. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.